Hello, my name is Peter Zablocki, and I'm a historian, author, and college professor. I'm thrilled to invite you to check out Evergreen Network's History Shorts podcast. Every Tuesday and Thursday, join me on a journey through time, exploring the little-known and hidden gems of history. In each bite-sized episode, I'll dive into my original research to bring you intriguing historical curiosities you've probably never heard of, uncovering the fascinating stories that have shaped our world, from forgotten figures to overlooked events. And the best part? I've condensed all this historical goodness into manageable chunks, perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Whether you're commuting to work or squeezing in a quick break, History Shorts fits into the little time you probably think you don't have. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the History Shorts podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. This is Peter.
And this is Tom.
And you're listening to History Teachers Talking Podcast,
part of the Evergreen Podcast Network.
This is Peter Zablocki and Thomas Reska, and welcome back to our podcast. Tommy, it's been 2 weeks, man. I'm getting used to this.
Slowly but surely.
That's right. What are we doing today?
Today we're going to take a look at some of the worst, not the best, but the worst Roman emperors of all time. So, you know, the Roman Empire was kind of like this beacon of power back in the, ancient history. And they had a lot of really good emperors who reigned kind of like defined the course of history. But they also have a lot of these emperors whose their legacies were really not so great. A lot of depths of tyranny, debauchery, but they're still really interesting to learn about. So we're going to kind of look at kind of a ranking of these, kind of delve into the lives, some of their failures as rulers, what they're known for in history. And we're just going to kind of just give a little bit of background on some of these really bad Roman emperors.
Yeah, and there's no way we could get through all of them. Actually, the total number of Roman emperors varies, right? It depends on how one defines the term emperor, because there's different historical periods that are considered here and who rules and how. But generally speaking, if you count all individuals that held the title of emperor, including co-emperors, right, because that happened during certain times, the total number is approximately 83 emperors. That's like a lot. That's a lot of people.
Put it in this case, like we're not even...
We're barely, I don't think we're going to hit 10. Yeah, I don't think we're going to hit 10 even.
But like U.S. presence, we're barely over half of that.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
So, gives you an idea.
And if you think about it, it is estimated that approximately 30 of those 83 Roman emperors died through assassination to get them out of being emperors.
Well, I guess that's what kind of speeds it up too, is a lot of them don't last very long.
No.
Some of them don't last long because, yeah, they get assassinated. So yeah, it's a violent time. So that's one reason why I think some of them get so violent and do some of the things that they do, is just they do that they have to do that in order to stay alive. They keep their power.
Or like go big or go home, because I'm going to die soon anyway, kind of thing. You know, like if you think about it, when you study history of Roman and Roman Empire, assassinations was basically a common means of succession in Roman politics. Like you knew that somewhere down the line.
Yeah, that's what you did.
You're going to be assassinated. So like, you know, do what you got to do. And when we speak about Roman Empire, right, one of the most influential civilizations in all of world history, it's actually spanned from 27 BC to 476 AD. So we're talking like 500 years. So we have to understand 83 different emperors, they really do rule over a span of 500 years. That's a long time. Like the world is changing so much from the original origins of the Roman Republic, which is kind of what started, the real Roman Republic started in 509 BC. You know, by first century BC, Rome conquered most of the Mediterranean region, Italy, Greece, North Africa, and that's kind of what we know as Rome. But then it transitions to the empire in 27 BC with Octavian, Augustus, right? First real like Roman emperor. And that's the beginning of the Roman Empire, when they start really taking over Europe and they go as far as England and all these other good stuff. And they peak over the next few centuries. It basically continues to expand until like the second century AD. They go to Christianity. They wind up breaking into two different Romes.
Oh, yeah. There's so much. There's so much there. Like
so much
Roman,
stuff.
Roman history is... It's a course in its by itself. It's interesting, has a lot of twists and turns. And we're going to give a little bit of, I think we're going to talk a little bit about some emperors that people know, but definitely some lesser known ones as well, because there's so much just inner workings at Roman history.
That's just, right. So let's look at the ones that are cited as the most the worst among the worst in history due to tyrannical rule or incompetence, yeah, cruelty, worst, or whatever.
Cruelty, most hated. So one of the ones I'd like to start with is probably more, a little more lesser known, Caracalla. And he was born in France, and he was the son of another one of these horrible emperors by the name of Septus Severus. Mm-hmm. He was also with his younger brother, Geta. And once their father died, the siblings kind of disagreed on who was going to have their inheritance. His father wanted to have a joint inheritance. If you look back in history, particularly Roman history, that never really works out very well. The whole idea of like a joint inheritance, like maybe look at the first triumvirate, right? Like it just doesn't really last that long. So Caracalla had his brother executed, and then had all of Geta's effigies and paintings were all vandalized. They were all burnt or destroyed. So he kind of erased his brother from existence, actually made it offensive, basically illegal, to even speak his brother's name in public. And he wasn't very well liked from everything that I read about him. People in Alexandria particularly had no respect for him or his ideas. They openly mocked him in public. So think about how people like mock presidents and stuff on like SNL, like those political satire shows. That's basically what they were doing. His big claim to fame was he passed something called the Edict of Caracalla, which basically declared that all free men and women in the Roman Empire were to be given Roman citizenship, which is a big deal, and have equal rights like native Romans. And a lot of people didn't like this. But one reason he did this, he was trying to gain support of the masses. He also takes a huge amount of money and like quadruples the soldiers' pay in order to win their support. And they still didn't like him. He winds up actually being killed by one of his soldiers. A soldier by the name of Justin Martilius actually kills him, mostly because he did a lot of brutal attacks on the Parthenians in the east, destroyed all images of emperors before him when he does all this. So like the people just never really liked him. And he was just very despised over his entire reign, which didn't last very long. He only ruled from 211 AD to 217.
He also built a lot of baths. Did you see that? Which is like weird to try to get the people to like him.
He did a lot of public works, I guess, to get people. And they still didn't like him.
The next one that I think we should talk about is Nero. He's one of the more known ones.
Infamous
is the right word, right? Yeah. Ruled from 54 AD to 68 AD, considered a notorious emperor in Roman history. One thing that he's really known for is the Great Fire of Rome, one of the most infamous events associated with Nero. The exact cause of the fire remains uncertain. We don't actually know like how it started or whether Nero supposedly started himself, but I doubt it. He's the emperor. It's not like he's going to go and start a fire. But apparently what the guy wanted is he actually wanted to build this like massive party house.
Well, he already had a golden house. Didn't he have a golden home?
But he wanted Domus Aurora. That's what he was trying to expand. That was the whole thing.
Yeah, that's what they think he started the fire for, right?
Yeah, because he needed to clear space in Rome. There just wasn't enough space, and there was people living in these areas. So he was like, yeah, all right, let's burn them out. And then I could build this, basically this grand like party arena. So he did. He winds up taking advantage of the disaster, and he pursues the architectural ambitions. They say like he like played an instrument and sang while burned.
They don't know if he actually played that while Rome was burning. That's one of those things that's like history kind of like maybe put in there that he actually did that. But he blamed the fire on the Christians.
Yeah, big on that. Yep. Essentially, the Christians became scapegoats for the fire. So he winds up torturing, or at least ordering the torture, horrific tortures of all Christians, including burning them alive, using them as human torches to light his gardens. That's what history supposedly says. Also, tyranny and paranoia. He executed or forced suicide upon several prominent individuals, including his own mother. I'm sure you saw that. They said Nero's relationship with his mother was very tense because of power struggles, and she played a very significant role in his rise to power, but then became increasingly concerned that he was becoming too independent and she like was losing influence over him. So he grows resentful of her, and in 59 AD orchestrates his mother's poisoning, or potentially orders her assassination. History is not clear. Again, this is, you know, a long time ago, thousands of years ago. But her death essentially frees Nero from her control and allows him to consolidate his authority. She's not the only one that he winds up killing. His second wife
he winds up killing, right?
Yeah.
I think they also remember too, and I'm sorry to interrupt you there, Pete, but like he became emperor of Rome at the age of 16. Imagine being 16 and then now you're the emperor of Rome. So you kind of see why he's kind of like indulging and going nuts with some of this stuff. And he's a teenager.
Crazy though, right? I mean, the story here is like really messed up. Like Nero's first wife, Octavia, he married in 53 AD. Tumultuous marriage, right? Infidelity and discord, mostly infidelity on his part, only on his part. Nero eventually grows tired of Octavia and he wants to divorce her to marry his mistress, Poppaea. So in 62 AD, he falsely accuses Octavia of adultery and then like comes up with this fake evidence. And because of that, he's like, well, she betrayed the emperor and he has her executed. So then he marries Poppaea, which is becomes his second wife. That is his lover at the time during the Octavia marriage. And according to some accounts, Nero kicked Poppaea to death while she was pregnant with their second child in a fit of rage. That's how crazy he got. No one really knows the actual circumstances surrounding her death, but it is believed that he was 100% responsible for her demise. But then it gets really interesting because after Poppaea's death, Nero marries a young boy who he had castrated in an attempt to make him resemble Poppaea. And this is like in historical accounts.
It's some like twisted stuff, yeah.
Yeah, like he called Sportus the Poppaea's name and treated him as his new wife. The marriage was seen kind of like as display of Nero's moral depravity, like, and psychological instability. Even at the time, people are like, dude, this is kind of crazy.
Yeah, no, and if the Romans were saying this is messed up, it's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
And what basically happens is it goes back to the rebuilding of Rome. There's a lot of like financial strains and stuff like that. So there was actually a conspiracy to assassinate him in 65. AD, which was discovered and thwarted, but the turmoil led to the emperor to take an extended tour of Greece. Like, I'm going to leave a little bit, let things kind of calm down. And he kind of immersed himself in the arts. He took part in the Olympic Games, announced a lot of these projects he wanted to do that didn't really do anything for the people of Rome. So once he comes back to Rome, he kind of neglected to address any of those major issues that people had with him. His guard, his like a secret service guard, right, declared Nero an enemy of the state. And he tried to run away at first, but he knew he wasn't really going to be able to succeed, that, you know, it was blocked off. He wasn't going to get anywhere. So he commits suicide in 68 AD.
Yeah.
It was acceptable. They just said, you know, kill yourself or we're going to kill you, basically.
Well, the other thing that's interesting, just like you mentioned with the other guy, they try to erase Nero from history. They really try to just get rid of any evidence that this emperor existed. Yeah. And clearly they failed because he is known now as one of the most infamous emperors of all time. Although the next one is close to him, I would say Caligula is very, very close. Caligula's reign is marked by tyranny, extravagance, and really detachment from reality. Like, this guy descended into madness. Yeah.
He was a whack job.
Yeah.
And this is not going to be debated. Yeah.
Culminates in a series of bizarre maniacal actions, really. At one point, he wants to move to Egypt to live as a sun god. But just some background.
Well, he was the uncle of Nero, right?
Yep.
He was Nero's uncle. And he even, like, his stuff even dwarfs what Nero does.
Yeah, they say unpredictable, frequently cited, acted on whims, and indulged in acts of cruelty and excess. So humiliated and tortured individuals just at whim. He'll be, like, sitting there and someone would, like, pass him the grapes, and he'd be like, you know what? Cut his arm off.
The weird thing was they said he was kind of, like, a benevolent, like, he was, like, a good ruler for a while, like, at first.
Oh, there's a lot of high hopes for him. Yeah, I read that.
Yeah, too. But then he winds up getting a serious illness. So some people think he was poisoned in 37 AD. And then after that is where he gets like really like whack job.
And like massive spending, right? So lavish spending, huge projects, which really strained the empire's finances. So people are really starting to be like, okay, this guy, we thought we had all these high hopes, but this is not working out. Costly spectacles, games to entertain the people, so on and so forth. But he also erected statues of himself alongside other various gods.
Yeah, well, he wanted to be a god. Yeah.
Yeah, because he said that like, I'm God.
He would rape people, rape women, the wives of like prominent Romans, and then describe like, the acts
and describe
them to their husbands and say, well, I raped her, but like, you know what? I wish I didn't. She didn't really satisfy me. You're like, wait, what? You know, and can't do anything to him because he's the emperor.
Exactly. And he would do it all the time. He would like throw it in their face. Like he would sleep with their wives. And the people just, I mean, they literally hated him, but there's not much they could do about it. There's also a lot of fear and suspicion. Like he was like the pre-Stalin Stalin in the sense that like he distrusted everyone. It was almost like everyone's walking on eggshells, whether they're going to fall in or out of favor with the emperor. And then you have this whole weird thing about having these like incestuous relationships with his sisters. His house, Caligula's house, was basically like just an open
brothel,
brothel, right? It was a brothel. And two of his biggest lovers were his actual sisters. Drusilla, who was his favorite, and he was madly in love with her, she winds up dying of kind of a mysterious sickness, and he goes like crazy for a year. He tells everyone in Rome, like, we are in mourning for a year. my sister died, who was actually his lover. No one could shave. No one can clean. No one can drink and consume any alcoholic beverages for a year. Like, and people were killed if they attempted to break any of his mourning. And then there's this whole thing about the sun god, which I found kind of interesting. He wanted these divine honors. And one of the most infamous episodes of his reign was his planned move to Egypt, where he intended to live as a sun god. And according to ancient sources, Caligula became convinced of his own divinity. And he wanted to kind of create a cult that was centered around him and then relocate with that cult to Egypt, you know, where he would, because he thought that this was the region associated with divine kingship.
Yeah, the pharaohs and everything. He got very into that whole thing. And a lot of the, like, the senators in Rome were kind of just like egging him on to do this, but they just wanted him to leave. They figured, right, if he left to Egypt, we wouldn't have to deal with him.
And that's essentially what ends up happening, though. He's getting a little too crazy. So on January 24th, 41 AD, he is, you guessed it, assassinated.
It's kind of a grand conspiracy. They not only kill him, they also kill his wife and his daughter. They want to wipe out the whole bloodline. And it's a conspiracy between the Senate, the Equestrian Order, and his guard all come together to get rid of him. And he's actually the first Roman emperor to officially be assassinated.
He's really assassinated by one of his high-ranking officers of the guard, like a guy he trusted. They get him in a corridor of the Imperial Palace. He's like, hey, and the guy just stops and starts stabbing him. He's stabbed to death.
You remember, so he's super paranoid. He finally trusts somebody and that person kills him.
Yep. Hello, my name is Peter Zablocki, and I'm a historian, author, and college professor. I'm thrilled to invite you to check out Evergreen Network's History Shorts podcast. Every Tuesday and Thursday, join me on a journey through time, exploring the little-known and hidden gems of history. In each bite-sized episode, I'll dive into my original research to bring you intriguing historical curiosities you've probably never heard of, uncovering the fascinating stories that have shaped our world, from forgotten figures to overlooked events. And the best part? I've condensed all this historical goodness into manageable chunks, perfect for your on-the-go lifestyle. Whether you're commuting to work or squeezing in a quick break, History Shorts fits into the little time you probably think you don't have. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the History Shorts podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. They say with Caligula's death, the Roman Empire plunges into a period of uncertainty and turmoil. Ultimately, this destroys Rome until Claudius becomes emperor. The next one that I had after Caligula was Commodus. Do you have Commodus too?
Commodus appears on all my lists that I found, yeah. Sometimes he was considered number one. Sometimes he's four or five, depending on the list and stuff. He's the son of Marcus Aurelius.
Who's one of the greatest.
I think he wasn't Marcus Aurelius the son in Gladiator. Don't take Gladiator as historical fact, obviously. I know. And Commodus, is that the son? I don't know. It's been a while
since I remember.
I know Marcus Aurelius is the emperor there.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen a movie. Last time I showed that movie to my kids, they all fell asleep and I got angry, so I just turned it off and went upstairs. I'm like, guys, going to watch this great movie, and they all fell asleep. Commodus, though, is the son of Marcus Aurelius. And what's really important here is that he is not necessarily bad as in cruel. He's just, they said he was just dumb. And it's a terrible way to say it.
He was lazy. He was a megalomaniac. And he did believe he was the reincarnation of Hercules. So fine. But he basically just led a life of debauchery, right?
Squandered vast sums of money, lavish entertainment. And he was huge into gladiatorial games and chariot races. So he was just like, I want more. I want more. So he would have the government organize gladiatorial games and chariot races over and over and over again because he wanted to see them. And he's the emperor, so you can't say no. But it drains the treasury, exacerbates the empire's financial problems because he's spending so much money on entertainment because he wants to be actually entertained. So it was all about public spectacles, straining empire's resources.
Well, he would fight. Yeah, he said he just ruled. He devalued the Roman currency, and he actually would fight in the arenas.
Arena, yep.
And he would kill all these exotic animals, and people kind of got horrified by that. What are you doing? He would just have a bunch of giraffes and stuff, and just slice off, ride around on a chariot and just slice off all the heads off. And they're like, "Why are you just doing this?" And they also saw it as demeaning for the emperor to do something like that. Was something like an enslaved person was supposed to do, the gladiators, not the emperor.
Yeah, 100%. He was fascinated with the mythical figure of Hercules, right? And he basically emulated Hercules. He believed that he was Hercules. So commissioned countless statues and artworks depicting himself as Hercules throughout the Roman Empire, which is kind of crazy. He wore a lion skin, brandishing a club. It was really obsession. I mean, he was obsessed with gladiatorial games, as you said. Shocking to everybody that he was doing this participation in these games. But also, all his game participation was characterized by excess and absurdity. Like you said, it wasn't about fighting people that could kill him. It was like, let me take this animal and just like, even like an ostrich, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
ostrich, peacocks. Yeah, like he wasn't fighting tigers and lions.
No, giraffes. Which, well, we kind of killed giraffes.
Yeah, yeah, giraffes. Like, yeah, ones that aren't even know what's going on for the most part. He's just going to come over and like, yeah, kill them. And he wanted to celebrate. He basically reveals that he wants to celebrate the rebirth of Rome by fighting in the arena on New Year's Day, 193. And his mistress and his advisors are trying to talk him out of it. And he's like, no, I'm going to do this. So his mistress actually attempts to poison him. Yes. And the poison failed. So then his fitness coach, basically his personal trainer, Narcissus, right, winds up choking him to death the day before. So he was assassinated on December 31st, 192.
It's a common theme here, right?
Yeah, basically people try to talk them out of it. It doesn't work. And they're like, all right, well, since that doesn't work, we're going to kill you. It's very like mafia also. You know, I've been watching some of like The Sopranos lately. And like, yeah, that's it's very similar. Like, oh, we'll see where we go. Nope, it's not good for business. Kill them. Basically what starts to happen, you know?
My next one is Domitian. Is that the one you had too? Domitian,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Domitian is, remember,
Caesar, Domitius, Augustus.
Yes. Autocratic rule, harsh policies, revived the practice of treason trials. That's the key here. So basically it led to persecution of senators and other enemies of the state. It was like witch hunts, more or less.
Yeah. Well, he served from 81 to 96. He was a younger brother of Titus. And he stood as the last member of the Flavian dynasty, which is a line of throne that he inherited from his brother after his brother suffered a fatal illness. But there's also some belief that he may have had some hand in his brother's death. And he was mostly peaceful and stable at first, like you said. But then, like a lot of these other ones, he just starts getting really paranoid. And honestly, looking at this now, you can't really blame them for being paranoid all the time.
Everyone wants to kill him.
Yeah, your most trusted people, the people that you're being paid to really guard you, wind up killing you, or like your personal trainer kills you. And they're seeing all this happen. They kind of know that's going to happen at some point. Like, it really makes, like, why do you want to be emperor? You're going to wind up getting killed at some point. One of his major mistakes was that he started curtailing the Senate and expelling those members he deemed unworthy. And he actually started executing some of them who opposed his policies, confiscating their property. And that just gets all these other...
You're making enemies, man.
Yeah, all these other senators against you. And once that happens, you're done.
Yeah, but even the authoritarian rule, right? And his big cult of personality as well. He saw himself as like a godlike figure as well. Demanded divine honors, worship from his subjects, so on and so forth. Statues to himself as well. The big issue here is, I mean, he acted as like a totalitarian, if that makes sense, dictator. I mean, not only did he have these fake trials where he wind up killing people, really, that opposed him, but then he imposed strict censorship on all literature and public speech that sought to control the flow of information and really to suppress dissenting voices. So banned all philosophers and intellectuals from Rome. He viewed them as like potential sources of opposition to his rule. No one could think that what I'm doing is wrong or say what I'm doing is wrong.
Yeah.
Takes a complete censorship, takes away any form of freedom. And by doing that, he consolidates his own authority.
Well, he does some things that really, again, that even the Romans have leaves a bad taste in their mouth. He winds up impregnating his own niece at one point, and he insists that she has an abortion. And then she dies as a result, and then he like blames her for it. Because of this, a lot of his family members and his servants were fearful for their lives. So in 96 AD, there's a conspiracy carried out by really the people closest to him. These are the only people that can get close to him are his family and some of his servants. And they kill him. The first stab is actually, he's stabbed in the groin by a member of his imperial staff. And then all the other conspirators kind of just jump out and start stabbing him. That's really what they do. Like, one person stabs. And then everyone's like, all right, well, he's injured, so now it's our chance. And they all just jump out.
Isn't it?
That's kind of like the Roman tradition ever since Caesar, I guess, right?
Well, yeah. I would not survive too long living in the ancient Rome. There's no way.
No. Well, yeah, you know how to get people angry pretty quick, so.
Yeah, okay. Next one I have is Elagabalus, I guess. Also known as Heliogabalus. Ruled Roman Empire from 218 to 222.
Yes, also Caesar, Marcus Aurelius, Antonius Augustulus.
Jeez.
There's also 204 to 222.
Chiefly remembered for his attempt to cultivate a cult of Assyrian sun god, Elagabal, from whom he was named. And he basically wanted to change the religion of Rome, introduce the worship of this new sun god, build it. He tried to build a temple. promotes this cult, lavish ceremonies, rituals, and he's telling all the Roman people, like, no, we're just going to believe in this god for whom I've been named, this sun god. And this causes outrage, right, amongst Roman elite and religious authorities. But it's also a lot of scandal. Dressed in women's clothing.
Like you said, he wasn't murderous as the others. He was more just, like, behaving oddly. Like, he was acting more like a high priest.
Yeah.
And he's talking about this alien god that he wanted to, like, be more like. They believe he worked as a prostitute.
And he said, he would dress as a female and then work as a prostitute. Yep, I saw that.
Yeah, so they said he married and divorced 5 women, things of that nature. And his most stable relationship, they said, was with his chariot driver.
Most of his displays of affection with male lovers. That was his big thing. And obviously, it's kind of terrible to say, Elagabalus, his reign came to a violent end. He was assassinated. Ta-da. In 222 AD, the imperial court actually plotted to eliminate him, plunges Rome into uncertainty.
Into civil war, yeah. They didn't want to deal with him anymore because it's just like all these other ones, too. If you criticize him, he had you killed. That's one reason why I guess it's like, why do these guys survive as long as they do? Some cases, even like 20 years, is considered, you know, a pretty long time to be dealing with someone like this. Just because they know when they kill him, it's going to make a power vacuum. Other factions are going to fight to get power. Is it worth it, you know?
Nuts. Those are really the main 5 that, like, I saw pop up on every single one. Yeah, maybe 6. Yeah, do you have a last one that we might want to finish up with?
Well, we talk about them, like, the heavy hitters, like Commodus, Nero, Caligula, Maximus Thrax.
I saw that, too. Also known as Maximus the First, right?
Yeah, and he only ruled for a short time. So only 3 years, 235 AD to his death in 238 AD. And he was known for destroying public property, setting fire to villages wherever he went, because he has this, like, you know, military mentality. He killed a lot of his relatives, most of them actually, which led to a lot of social instability in Rome because he never really had family line. He did expand to German territories, which really affected the finances of the Roman Empire because that was really expensive to do. And to help pay for that, he made reductions in a lot of the subsidies in the city's grain supply, which really harmed his reputation with the people, particularly the poor, like welfare, food stamps, right? Government programs basically to survive. And the empire didn't flourish over his rule at all. So it was short because civil war breaks out shortly during his rule.
Yeah, but they said he was more concerned with his military and his military prowess, his army, his soldiers. He was a soldier through and through, and he really didn't care about the Senate or anything else along those lines. He also persecuted Christians, like, hardcore. They said order execution of church leaders everywhere he went or everywhere his Roman Empire took over. He's got some military successes, not all as much as you would think for a guy that's all military. But his reign comes to an abrupt end in 238 AD, following a series of revolts and uprising against his rule, but not just among the civilian population, but actually he started getting some military defeats. In all this opposition, he is overthrown and killed by his own troops. Again, only emperor for 3 years, but this is the guy that ignored the Senate, ignored Rome because he's the true soldier of his men, you know, a leader of his men. And his men were the ones that, after losing a bunch of battles, were like, yeah, we don't want this guy anymore. Yeah, so they wound up killing him.
Well, they also saw, like, if things aren't going well, they're more likely to just be like, bye.
Right. The end of all this, though, I mean, the fall of Western Roman Empire kind of brings the end to all these emperors. And again, there's 83 of them. But the Roman Empire falls in 476 AD. There's a lot of factors, political instability, one big one, right? Because, and that's kind of what we're talking about today, is the Roman Empire faced frequent leadership changes. And often through assassinations, coups, political instability weakened central authority, when therefore there's always this constant struggle for power among ambitious generals and politicians. And that just makes internal divisions worse.
Other things aren't going to get done. The things that need to get done are not going to be addressed because there's always people always fighting for who's going to be on power.
Right. There's an economic decline, obviously military expenses because of all the military campaigns, and also a lot of military pressure because the Roman Empire faced constant threats from external enemies, particularly the German tribes, Huns, so on and so forth, Persians. Because they're always taking lands over, they always have to defend the frontiers. I mean, that's ultimately what ends up happening. And then you have in 3rd century, because the empire stretches so much, it almost becomes too far from Rome, which is supposed to rule it all. So it is decided, there's some administrative reforms, and it's decided to divide the Roman Empire to eastern and western halves. Each will be governed by separate rulers. And this was intended to improve governance between this empire, so one could govern one side of the empire, the other, but that really leads to the end.
Whole other bunch of stuff. Right. Yeah, the Holy Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire,
good stuff. All right, so the fall of the Western Roman Empire, the Western portion, is traditionally dated to the deposition of the last Roman emperor,
Romulus. 476, right?
Yeah, Romulus, Augustulus.
Don't remember much about him. Basically, they just gave him that name to kind of try to save the empire, right? Yeah. Like Augustulus after the first emperor and Romulus after the fictional founder of Rome. They just kind of created this name, you know, to call like someone like Washington Lincoln. They're trying to be like the last great president, you know, just like play on that heritage, that legacy.
And hope for the best.
It just didn't work out. Hope is not a strategy.
Look at that. Look at that, coach. So I think that pretty much wraps it up. Again, guys, go out there. There's so much to Rome. There's that, the Rome documentary on Netflix is actually really good, too. Go out there. I encourage you. We encourage you. Read about it. Do what you got to do. There's a lot of cool stuff. But at least now you have some idea of some of the bad guys that are part of this Roman Empire. If you guys need to find us, you can find us at www.historyteacherstalkingpodcast.com. If you guys need to contact us, email us, anything else, you can find us on social media. And, you know, don't be afraid to reach out with some suggestions. We always welcome those. I'll see you guys in 2 weeks.
Stay safe, everybody.
I hope everyone enjoyed our podcast, and if you would like to email us, you can do so at historyteacherspodcast@gmail.com.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.